Hi guys, my name's Teddy and this is my seminar on front-end development with React. So let's just get started with it. So first, what is React? So officially on their website, it's a JavaScript library for building user interfaces. But more unofficially, colloquially, it's a dope JS library that makes it really easy to build responsive web pages. So this was originally developed by Facebook, and its rival is AngularJS, which has been developed by rival company Google. But we're going to talk about React today. So some things that I'm going to assume is, only one thing, is that you have a basic, very basic understanding of JavaScript. And if you have a familiarity with any programming language, this should be pretty simple. So some things that I'm not going to assume that you have Node and NPM installed. I'm not going to assume that you're familiar with ES6 syntax. I'm not going to assume that you have understanding of object-oriented programming or functional programming. And I'm not going to assume that you've created a dynamic website of any type before using jQuery, Angular, etc. Okay. So some key takeaways from the talk today is how to actually get started, something called JSX, which we'll get into, components along with their props and state, the render method, the virtual DOM, and functional components. And also, at the end, I'll talk a little bit about the next steps after you learn the material from today's seminar. OK, so how to actually get started. And I wanted to focus on this because I think a lot of tutorials tell you how to do something inside like a browser or inside a pre-built editor, but no one's actually telling you how to create something and get it running on your personal computer. So I wanted to focus a little bit on that at the beginning today. So first, you're going to want to install Node and NPM. And before, just a disclosure, use your own computer. Don't run this on CS50 IDE. Eventually, like, you're not going to have support for that, or you're not going to be allowed access to that anymore, so you're going to want to run this on your own computer. So first, Node just allows us to run JavaScript on our desktop. Usually it runs only in our browser. That's what Google Chrome and all those other browsers are capable of doing. But Node lets us do this on our personal desktop. NPM stands for Node Package Manager. And this lets us install useful things that people have created over time, written in JavaScript, intended for Node. And you can find them here at this link, and I'll make sure that these slides are shared afterwards with people. And for right now, install like 8.9.0 long-term service rather than the newly released 9.0.0, since React is only supporting Node 8 at the moment. OK, once you have those two things installed, we're going to want to install something called Create React App. And this is exactly one of those NPM packages that I was talking about earlier. And so it's really easy to install. Just go to your command line and type these commands. NPM install, this -g is saying globally, so this is for all users, and then Create React App. And this is just a tool that was created by Facebook to help you actually get started faster without doing all the like initial grunt work. And then finally, we're going to create and view the project. So we're going to type in our command line again, create React app, React seminar. This is going to create a folder and install the necessary packages in that folder to be able to run React. And then we're going to cd into that folder and type npm start. And this is going to launch a local server. And we're going to go to localhost 3000 if that's not automatically redirected. And then look, you're going to have your first React app. So let's go do that right now. So here, I'm going to type, so I've already created the folder ahead of time since I didn't want to spend time downloading things, just so that you can see. So I'm going to cd into React seminar, and I'm going to type npm start. And this is going to be starting a local development server. And you'll notice that I've opened up the browser, and on localhost 3000 here, I already have a dynamic website available to us. So congratulations, you've gotten started. OK, but now let's actually try and dig into the code. So if we go into Sublime Text here and we open up the code that was generated inside this React seminar folder, we're going to find a lot of different things on the side. But most importantly, we're going to want to look in this source folder. And inside the source folder are going to be a bunch of different files, but the most important of which is going to be app.js here. And let me just change something really quickly. And we're going to be confronted with a bunch of JavaScript code. And right now it's going to look foreign, but we're going to talk about this in just a second. So going back, so let's start digging into the code here. Hopefully this. So what we just saw on the screen was something called JSX. And usually we develop with JavaScript, JavaScript just by itself. But JSX is like JavaScript extension. And what this essentially lets us do is mix JavaScript and HTML. So whereas normally we would only be allowed to assign variables and return like integers, strings, lists, those standard things, in JSX we're allowed to return like HTML tags, like divs, buttons, inputs, all those things. And when we return those things, they'll be displayed properly inside the web page. Another thing that we'll see is something called the component. And this is the fundamental building block for React. So these components have internal state and external props. We'll talk about what those things are later. And these are nested inside of each other and can be used across multiple files and even across multiple projects. And so this component is like a contained view of the project, and we're going to be changing the way this component is rendered based on the internal state and external props. And then, so talking about that state, the state is within a component, and it contains this internal information about components, the stuff that we're going to be changing dynamically. And we have some initial state most of the time. And we're going to change the state instead of directly modifying it with a function called this.setState. And I can talk about the importance of this later. And then finally, there's a method called render, which every component must have. And this is called whenever the state changes. And here is where we decide what the user should see based on the current state and the props. And even though whenever we change the state, we're calling render, not everything is getting re-rendered to the page or the DOM. And this is because of something called the virtual DOM. And what's happening is render is changing the virtual DOM, but React is doing extra work for us to be able to compute the most efficient way to change the actual DOM on the web page such that your pages are loading really, really, really quickly. So with that, let's start testing a little bit, playing around with a bit of the code. So the first thing we're going to do is in this app.js file, we're going to delete pretty much everything inside and just start from scratch. Okay? And so notice that we have something called app, and it extends component. This is saying that we're creating a new React component. And notice that we're also exporting it such that other files can import this app component and use them directly. So one of the first things that every component needs is a constructor. And we'll declare it just like this. And inside this constructor, we're going to want to first call super. This is what allows us to use the keyword this in JavaScript. And confusion about this is pretty common, but I won't go into that right now. And then we're going to want to set our initial state. So in this example, I'm going to create some kind of trivial application where I'm going to have a button and then a number. And as I click the button, it's going to increment the number by 1. And I'm just going to keep clicking the button, and it's going to keep incrementing the number. So it's a pretty trivial application. But it shows a bit of the power of React. So to set the initial state, we're going to say this.state equals, and then this.state is going to be a dictionary or an object in JSON or in JavaScript. And so I'm going to have something called the count, and it's going to start with value 0. So that's the constructor. We've set up everything we want initially this component to display. Now we need to create something, the render method that I spoke about before. So this is the same thing. So in the render method, we're going to want to return HTML that we want to be displayed on the page. So we're going to return in this fashion. And we always put parentheses to group things together properly. And we're going to return a div. And inside this div, we're going to return a button. And then here, just like we would do in Jinja, if you're familiar, we're going to be able to inject the actual like code values into the HTML element. So here we're going to use the brace. And this is saying that we want to access something that's a JavaScript variable. And we're going to say this dot state dot count. So we're just going to put the count directly inside the HTML. And then finally, we'll just close this div. So if I save this, if I go back to the HTML page, Well, notice that it's a little uglier than before, but we now have the two things that I wanted in the first place. We wanted an increment button and the number 0. But right now, when I click the increment button, nothing is happening because I haven't defined any behavior for what happens when the button is clicked. So let's do that now. So when we click the button, we want a method to be called, some function to be called, which increments the count. And to achieve this, we're going to create a new function within our component, and we're just going to maybe call it increment. And here I'm going to use something called arrow notation. And what this is essentially doing is creating a new function which takes in the parameters that I'm going to specify. So in this case, it takes in no parameters. And then I'm going to draw this arrow. This is saying like this goes to this code block. And then just use it like a normal function. Some advantages of this is that it preserves this, and if I had done it in the traditional way, like I did with the other two functions, then this would actually be the function itself instead of the overall component. The specifics of this aren't exactly important, so I'll gloss over them for now. But just know that using this arrow notation will save you some headache in the future. So in increment, we want to be able to update the count of the state. So we might be tempted to just say this.state.count plus plus. But because of the way the React functions, and it's always computing this optimal difference between the virtual DOM and the actual DOM, we want to do this in a functional way such that we're creating a pure copy of the state. So instead, we're going to say this.setState, and this is a function that takes in a dictionary, and we're going to specify which fields we want to change. So we're going to set the count to now be this.state.count plus 1. Now that we have this increment function, we still need to put it on the button itself. So the button has a property called onClick, and this takes in a function that we're going to specify. And again, we're going to use these special braces such that we know we're injecting something directly from the JavaScript instead of like an actual string here. So we're going to pass in this increment function, and this increment is a method of this, or the component itself. So what we're going to do is we're going to say this.increment. And now, if we go back to our page, when we click the button, we notice that the number is, in fact, increasing every time. So this is a really trivial application, but I think it shows and highlights the powers of React. Because we notice that even though I'm clicking increment, and we're calling this render function every single time, the button is not changing. So what could naively be done is we could re-render the button and re-render the text every time we click the button. But instead, we notice that only the number is changing. And this is React, again, doing that efficient computation to compute the exact difference that it needs, such that the difference is as fast as possible. Okay? So that's this very trivial example. But I wasn't here to just show you how to create like cookie clicker from scratch. So let's jump into a more complicated example, creating a to-do application. So again, we're going to want to scrap everything that we've done so far because we don't need this anymore. So what we're going to do is we're going to start over. We'll just delete all of this and just start from scratch. So again, we're going to need a constructor for our app. And we're going to call super again. These are just things that we have to do every time that we have a new React application. But now our state is going to be different. So I'm creating a to-do list. And a to-do list is essentially just exactly that, a list of to-dos. So the state should hold all that information, all the to-dos that we've added so far. So what we can do is we can say this.state equals, and then we just have to-dos. And this is going to start as an empty list. So that's going to be our state. And then in render, we're going to want to return those to-dos. And also, we're going to want to offer a way for the user to input new to-dos. So we'll have an input for them. And we'll maybe put a placeholder. And we're going to have a button for them to be able to, we're going to have a button for them to be able to add the to-do. And then finally, we're going to want to have a list of to-dos available for them. So right now, we're going to kind of gloss over this step. We'll come revisit it again. But because of React's nice syntax, we can actually put some conditional rendering here. So we can check using the ternary operator in JavaScript and the ternary operator in all languages whether this dot state.todos dot length is equal to 0. And we're going to ask, is it equal to 0? And if it's not, if it is equal to 0, then let's return the string no todos yet. And otherwise, we're going to return you still have some to do left. OK, and let's see what this renders right now. So OK, we're having some problems here. Let's see. No to-dos yet. Oh, sorry. I forgot to put a closing tag on this. OK, so we have a kind of crude to-do method, or to-do list app now. However, we've typed something here and we click the add button, again, we notice that same thing, that nothing is happening. And furthermore, that you know, like this is not changing. But notice still that this says no to-dos yet, instead of you have some to-dos. So we have some logic going on here. And that's kind of just highlighting a little bit of the power there. So now I'm going to start moving a little bit quicker since I don't want to run out of time. So just to clean this up just a tad, we're going to add a break here so that the to-dos are in the next line. So in this input, we want to hold like the next to-do that the people want to add. So that's also a part of the state, actually. And we want to include this in the state. So what we're going to do is we're going to say like current to-do, and this is going to be just some string, initially the empty string. And we'll let the value of this input be this.state. Dot current to do. Now, if I go back to the application and I now try and type, I'm hitting the keys now, but nothing is showing up because the state is not changing. So this the input, the value of this input is being bound to a state, and that state is unchanging. So now we need to add a new method here. Sorry about that. So we need to add a new method here such that when this is changed, we are actually changing the value of the state. So we're going to add it on change. And this means that we're going to need to declare a new function. So on change is going to trigger a function and pass in something called an event. And this event essentially tells what the input was changed to. This is kind of very specific, but we'll say like on input change equals E. So this is taking in an event. And again, this is bringing up that ES6 object or like anonymous function definition. And we're going to say, OK, so this.setState, again, calling that setState function. And we're going to say current to do becomes e.target.value. And so we're going to pass in this same function down here. And now, hopefully, when we change the value of the input, we'll see that, in fact, OK, my typing is showing up. So now all we need to do to actually get some to-dos to show up down here, or maybe to change this no to-dos yet, is to implement some functionality on the add button. So again, we're going to want to declare a new method. And here we're going to see something about, again, not doing like pure changes to the state instead of mutative changes. So we're going to say like onClick. This is just going to be a function that takes in no parameters. We're going to want to create a new list of to-dos, which is the old list with the new current to-do appended to it. So we don't want to actually modify the list in place. Instead, we want to create a copy. So we'll say to-dos copy is equal to this.state.todos.slice. And this will create an exact copy of the original to-dos list. Then on the to-dos copy, we're going to want to push this.state.current to-do. So this is adding the new to-do to the end of the to-do list. And then finally, we're going to want to set the state properly. So we're going to say to-dos is going to become the to-dos copy. And we're going to want to clear out the old to-do, or the current to-do. So we're going to say current to-do becomes the empty string yet again. So now, if we pass in this function onClick to the button, and we say onClick equals this.onClick, we're going to see something happen. So we're going to enter a to-do here, and we're going to click Add. And notice that we haven't exactly displayed it, but now this has triggered some change in the state, and this conditional rendering is taking care of something behind the scenes. And we're starting to see like the hint of something actually dynamic going on in our application. So let's continue on this trend. We have a bunch of to-dos in our state. We just need to decide how we want to display them. So I think a natural way to display them is to create an unordered list, a bulleted list. And so we'll do exactly that. So in this render, we're going to say we want a list of all the to-dos. So we can do this by doing a JavaScript map. And we're going to say let bulleted to-dos. It becomes this.state.todos.map. And map is going to take in an element and an index. And it's going to return something. And now here again, we're going to see this combination of HTML mixed with JavaScript. So we're going to, for each element, return some kind of JavaScript or HTML element. So we're going to return a list. And we'll let the value be E. And then we'll just close the list element. And furthermore, when we do loops like this in React, to assist it with this computational difference, we're going to add something called the key. And the key can be anything as long as it's unique per iterated item. So in this case, I've chosen the I to be just the I, the index inside this list. And then finally, we're going to want to inject this into the state. So here, where before I said if there are to-dos, then we'll say you still have some to-dos. I'm going to change this to become UL, and then followed by bulleted to-dos. OK, and then we're going to see, so now if we add, we're going to see that now we're adding things to the element. And notice again that this is rendering it in exactly the way you would hope it would, such that when we add new to-dos, another thing to do. This is efficiently calculating the things that we need to do between each render. So even though I'm re-rendering the whole page for the virtual DOM, it's only appending exactly what the difference is. It's only appending the new to-do. It's not redoing the whole entire list. So if I add a bunch of these rapidly, it's not going to kind of recompute the whole entire thing. So that's, again, hinting at the power of what React can do. But I feel like this to-do application is still missing some things. And that's the ability to delete things that we've already added. So again, this is a trivial functionality, but maybe we want to add it. So first, visually, how can we add this? So instead of in each list element, we can just say, like, have a button. And, you know, it just can show the value x. And now this is going to show an x next to each thing. So, you know, if we supposedly, ideally, we would want this to delete it when we click the x. Of course, that functionality hasn't been implemented yet. But now this is starting to get complicated because each list element needs to have a button, and this button needs to know which thing to delete. And when it needs to delete it, we need to know like how to delete it from the state. So this looks like a good opportunity to create a new component, component to nest inside our larger app, such that this makes like the development a little easier. So we'll do that as well. So we can go back to our folder in the command line. And if we create a new file in the source folder, and we can call it like single to-do, and we go back, and now we can, again, in our source folder, we'll see that this is being created. And this is a good chance to create something from scratch and just see what exactly is going on. So let me quick make a quick change. So with every React component, and I should have mentioned this at the beginning, but we need to import React and the component from React. And what this is doing is importing React itself lets us type in this JSX style language, this mixture of JavaScript and HTML. And then the component is what lets us create a new new component. And then we're going to have to create a class much like we did in here. So this was called class app, and it extends component. And we're going to do the same thing here. We're going to create a class single to do, which extends component. And we're going to do the same thing here, where we create a constructor. And we don't actually need to do anything, because everything that this component has, we're going to be passing down to it via something called props. And so props are different than state, because state is internal to the component, whereas props are passed in from the outside. And we'll see how exactly those are passed in later. And then, of course, this needs, as well, a render method. And so the same thing can happen. So we can just return. And for now, we'll just do something similar to what we did above. So list a list element. But instead of e now, we'll just say this.prop.todo. And we'll have a button, which for now, again, just shows the thing x. And then we'll finish the list element. And then finally, for this to be able to be used in other other components, we're going to want to export this. And so we're going to say export default single to do. Okay, much like we did in, again, this is very similar to how we are working in app.js. So now that we have created this new component, we're going to want to import it inside of our other larger component, the app. So how are we going to do this? The syntax is like as follows. At the very top, we're just going to say import single to do from, and then we'll say dot slash single to do. And what this is doing is it's looking in the source folder on the left here, and it's looking for something called single to do dot JS. The JS is optional, and it's going to import exactly what we exported by default, the single to do. And now, inside of our render, we can call this. And instead of returning in this map the list element, we can just return a single to-do. So essentially, by creating this component, we've created ourselves a custom HTML component that we can parameterize in exactly the ways that we want. And so now, we can pass down this thing called a prop. And notice that this prop is called to-do. And so what we have done by giving it this prop is we can pass in something called to do, and we can give it exactly what we want. And then we can close this and return. So I haven't added any additional functionality, but what I've done is abstracted away the features of this component into something else. And so, okay, I have a compilation error here. So it's advising I put super, and I will do that. OK, so now we're back to our original application. And again, if I add something saying this.prop, sorry, my apologies. This should be props, not prop. So if I go back here, OK, so we see that we've achieved, again, our original functionality. And we're going to now want to pass in also a function that this, we're going to want to pass down a function that this can use to achieve like the deletion that we want. So in our top level app, we're going to let the state of this application kind of be the single source of truth. So this top app is delegating everything in every component that's nested within it. So here we're going to say delete to do. And this is going to take in the index of a to do to delete. And again, we're going to want to create a copy of the current list of to-dos. And so what we're going to do is going to do the same thing as we did before. And then we're going to want to delete. And this is just like a JavaScript syntax thing, but we can do this by doing splice i, 1. And then we're going to set the state to be this new list of to-dos. Okay, then we're going to want to be able to pass this down to each of the smaller single to-do components. So on this buttons click, we're going to want to just say this.props.delete. And this component has no idea what this actually does, but the global component, the parent component, is going to tell it exactly what it should do. So now we're going to pass in a function or a prop called delete, and this prop can be whatever we want it to be. So in this case, I'm going to create it to be a new function, an anonymous function, such that when this is deleted, it's going to trigger this function, and this is going to call this.deleteTodo with the variable I, because I is the current index of this. Okay? And so now if we go back and we add a to-do, and we add it, and we click the X, we notice that it's now been deleted properly. And so if we say something to do, something else, something thrice, we can delete them one by one in whatever order we want. And again, these are just triggering the things that we're passing down to it. And this is like, again, I'm trying to express like the power of React, but it's just this declarative kind of way to describe the user interface that you want. So at any point, I'm just telling exactly what I want to be happening. Okay, so one last thing on this single to-do component. Notice that this has no internal state, because everything about this is determined by what the parent says it should be. And so instead of creating an actual class, we can do something called a functional component. And instead of creating a class, we'll now create a function. So we can say const single to do, and this const keyword is, again, just another feature of JavaScript. It just means that this cannot be changed. And it's going to take in only one argument, and that's the props. And then instead of doing a render method, it just simply returns exactly what we want. And so if we just copy paste this line, and we comment out this, then again, we're going to get the same behavior. Okay. So now, because we're passing in the props as this argument to the function, there's no need to say this anymore. We can just call the props directly, because the props are readily available to us. And they're not a property of this, but they're rather just an argument passed to this function. So if we change this, and we try again, we'll now see that we have all these various things that we can delete, add. And so we have, in just the course of 20 minutes, created from nothing a to-do list in React. And so now, just to wrap things up, so we created this simple to-do application. And in the process, we learned about a couple of things. So we learned about the props. And these, instead of internal state, like something managed within a component, they're passed from the outside to the component. And we see that by creating this component, we're essentially creating a custom HTML tag that we can parameterize in any way. And the component in general should not be able to change the props that it's given. And also, we've seen these functional components, which only accept props and they have no internal state. And in general, we want things to be as pure and as functional as possible. We want to have only a single source of truth. We don't want to have multiple things with multiple states and they can be in disagreement. Instead, we want to have a single source of truth, and then that delegates what everything else should look like. And React will handle all the rendering again. So some next steps. So this is, of course, a very, very, very simple application. But there are limitless things that you can do with React. And Facebook and a lot of other companies have been exploring exactly these avenues. So something else to look into is called Redux, which is a global state container. And this is achieving exactly what I was describing before, this single source of truth. So instead of having different components managing different parts of the state. We just have a single container of all the state. And a particular component subscribes to a part of the state. And this is passed down to it as a prop. And also, we can look into something called React Router, which allows for things called single page applications, where the URL is dynamically changing, but the page itself is actually never refreshing. And so this has huge implications about like how web pages can load, and how when we go to different web pages, we don't actually have to re-render the whole web page. We can only change the part that is actually changing. Okay. So if you have any questions, like you're free to ask them right now, or you can reach me at my email. This is my email here. Send me questions about my seminar. Send me feedback. But this has been, you know, an introduction to front-end development with React. And thank you very much for listening.